Welcome to Set the Sails, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Brought to you by Bucks Life Media and our official sponsor, the Jersey Wave. Streaming on FanStreamSports.com, airing on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And now, your hosts, James Flash Ludeman, James Britt Buck Wilson, and Ruth the Truth Cagias. We are going live in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to episode 8 of Set the Sails podcast from whatever streaming platform that you guys are watching this. We thank you guys and make sure to get us some comments while we have the show going on for today. So we have a treat for everyone. Right now, I'm going to be doing our intro. We also have our host, James Ludeman, who will be filling in today, as well as Britt Buck Wilson will be joining us. But we also have a very special guest. He has just been in the Ford Hall of Fame for fans. His name is Big Nasty. You guys probably know him. He's a huge Bucks fan. So we have him joining us in the show today to talk some football. So let's go ahead and get James and Britt Buck Wilson on with me. Hey, how you doing, Buck?
Hey, I know we're all in here together. This is amazing. Episode 8 already. Like, I can't believe we're actually, and I missed a week as well. And I can't believe we're at episode 8 already. This is
super exciting. Awesome.
Ruth the Truth, thank you very, very much for the introduction. I can't wait to get going. As you said there, we have the one and the only Big Nasty on the show. You guys love having him on. I love having him on our shows. I love talking to the guy. He is Mr. Tampa Bay Buccaneers as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
And you know what? We have our regular scheduled viewing with Mr. James Ludeman. How are you this evening, my friend?
What's up, everybody? It was awesome to take a minute and not do an introduction. It was fun. I like watching other people do things. It's a lot of fun.
That was a little nerve-wracking, but
No. You'll get used to it. But anyway, well, we're so glad that you guys are here with us tonight. And I have the very awesome opportunity to bring on one of, I would say, we're 8 episodes in. And no offense to any of our other guests that have been on, because we've had some awesome guests join us. But this guy here, Big Nasty, is in a class all of his own. Keith Big Nasty, is it Kunzig? Kunzig. Okay, I always mess it up every time. But Big Nasty is joining us. Big Nasty, how are we feeling? How are you holding up? How are things going?
I'll tell you what, I'm. It's funny. My juices have been like just simmering, and then all of a sudden, I watched this little thing the Buccaneers posted out today about the current that's coming out, their new show. And man, they got Gronk talking, and they got Brady talking, and I still got to pinch myself, man. I still can't believe it's actually happening. You know, I mean, after, like I said last time, man, who would ever believe a year ago, we'd be saying, hey, you're going to come out with a virus, you're going to have the Gronk, and you're going to have the GOAT Tom Brady. I'd say, hey, I'll sell you a bridge. But I'm telling you right now, it's absolutely – it's exciting, man. I mean, I don't know any which way to put it. It's exciting for Buck Nation, and I'm looking forward to the season to start. I really am.
Absolutely, and don't forget, as Ruth the Truth kicks off, told us, you can catch us on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, wherever else that you find this, on Apple Podcasts later on. You can listen to this back if you missed anything. So we'll start with that, and obviously – Big Nasty, big deal going on right now in your life with being inducted, not indicted. being inducted into the Ford Hall of Fame. Obviously, everybody has seen the video. We know it was a very emotional experience for you. I think, and I've said this to you before, that I think it's more than well deserved for how much you do for the community and how much you do for our Buccaneers and everything else. But definitely, again, we just want to say congratulations, first off. But secondly, can you just, obviously, we talked last time you were here about Derek Brooks coming to your house and all of that and kind of how that looked. But can you walk us through what happened when you got the word officially that you were being inducted into the Hall of Fame? Can you just kind of walk us through? We saw it on video, but maybe just kind of walk us through kind of what happened leading up to that.
Well, I got to tell you, that was unbelievable. They had me. And what I mean by they had me, I mean the Ford group of people were amazing. And I'm pretty good at reading body language with people. But the night before, they literally had all three of us convinced that there was only going to be one. And I went to bed going, I'm not going to feel good if I win or if I lose, because these people all deserve it. And the previous year, they voted all three in, right? So all of us went to bed, you know, thinking, oh, my goodness. So you ain't sleeping all night. And it was funny. They told us, hey, around 9:30 would happen and you get the knock on the door if it's going to happen. Well, we're getting close to 5 minutes to 10. My wife is standing on a chair. OK, guys, in front, right by the door. So when the door opens, she's videoing this. My wife was on that chair for an hour because you didn't know how long you were going to be waiting. And you were praying that you were going to get that knock on the door. And literally, I'm watching the time go by and I'm like, it's 9:50. No knock. It's not going to happen. Literally, I just closed my eyes and laid in bed. And if you saw the video, you see the holy moly. I can't believe it. But I'm telling you, when I opened that door and I saw David Baker out there, it was like, wow. I can't even explain to you all the years that you've been doing this, all the good you do for people. You never anticipate anything like this. You know what the players are experiencing now, and you're going, wow, going through all those 120 degrees in football games, dying of dehydration and still staying there to the end for your team paid off. And you're sitting there and you go, wow, it pays to be a good person. It pays to be an awesome fan and a loyal fan. And to shake that hand, I still have it. I took a picture of that handshake. You know, I just condensed it down and I have it in my in my other room. But the neat thing about that is that handshake was welcome to Pro Football Hall of Fans. You know, I mean, guys, there's not a bigger honor. I thought Visa Hall of Fans when I got inducted in 2001 was awesome. And it was at that time. It really was. But this is like, guys, this is like the ultimate fandom recognition that you could possibly get. And I'm humbled. I'm honored, especially to represent Buck Nation, because I don't know if you guys know, we were the three smallest market teams. Out of all those large teams like the Oaklands, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, there was the Baltimore Ravens, and we ended up getting the final three, and all of us got the knock on the door, and it was unbelievable. Yeah, I'll never forget it. And to hear, and it's funny, if you ever get to see that video, you got to hear my family screaming, like, oh my God, because my wife's got ears. She can hear you 100 yards away through a door. I'm like, you know, I'm deaf. So she hears it. She's screaming. Destiny, everybody's crying. Everybody's hugging each other. It was, and the way they did it, I didn't think I was going to get it. So when I did, it was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, amazing moment. I guess it's going to get even bigger come August, and super excited for it. Really am.
A lot of people have said in the comments, I don't know, like we've had this conversation before. I don't think anyone is more sort of deserving of the honor. Now, before I ask my question, I'm just going to come in because Bryce has hit the Ask Big Nasty hashtag there. And he's asking, how long have you been a season ticket holder?
It's been over 30 plus years, guys. It's funny because I used to work for Bally's Health Club back in the day. And we used to actually, I negotiated season tickets with the team. Like when we were horrible, literally like when people would leave two tickets and come back and there'd be five, that kind of thing on a windshield. And that was way back in the Bally's days. So season ticket holder, 30 plus years, I'd say maybe 30, 35. But I remember I went in, they were only getting four tickets and I negotiated, I think 20, because what that meant was the Bucks didn't have a workout facility, guys. I mean, back in the day, you know, you got a lot of these people don't even know that, but let me explain to you. They used to be near the airport, and the locker room and the weight room were outside. It was a rat trap, guys. It was terrible. Rusty equipment. It was nowhere near the Taj Mahal it is today. And I could just remember, you know, as far as the negotiation, so all the Buccaneer staff, everybody, administrative, players' wives, everybody got to work out at Bally's for free. And, you know, back then, you know, Bally's was an expensive membership. It was like $2,000 a year each. So it was a good negotiation, and it just kept us going all the games. And even when we were losing, we had the best times. I mean, there's so many great memories in that stadium. I even proposed to my wife at the stadium on the Jumbotron, all kinds of awesome things.
Yeah, I mean, I know we spoke before actually a while ago now, and like when we were sort of talking about how far the Bucs organization's come along and like the transition from the old sombrero. And I remember, I believe it was Isaac Gold was in one of his memoirs saying that when he was with the Bucs, he was constantly injured, and he was asked
for a
facility that was rusting, was falling apart. It had no shade. It was under a flight path. He just said it was the worst experience that he'd sort of ever had with the team. And he was with the Bucs for 1 year. He was injured. The plan was that he was going to rehab and then properly sign and play. But that year, rehab just completely put him off, apparently. And he left. I believe he went off to the Cowboys. Ruth, that's probably more your area of expertise.
Well, the crazy thing is, back in the old days, man, when it used to thunder, you know, now you got the beautiful training facility, right? You go indoors. I mean, holy moly. Back in the day, they used to go to the parking lot right next door. And the parking lot was like a lever, you know, like those parking lot buildings. And they used to practice in there. So you tell me how much we've come from a Buccaneer organization back when Culverhouse owned the team all the way where the Glazers have the team. I mean, it is. It literally is Taj Mahal. And you know what? To be competitive in the NFL now, you got to have that. And, I tell you right now, Tampa Bay is an attractive place to come. I just don't see why a free agent wouldn't want to come here right now.
Awesome. Thank you for that insight. I also wanted to ask you a question. Where did your fan, where did this start off with the Tampa Bay Bucs? Where did that blossom from?
Wow.
30 plus years? Bring us back.
Well, you know, I could tell you where it really started when I was 8. And I actually played for the Atlanta Falcons. And in the Little League team, right? And I went to go see the Bucs-Falcons play, and I think Barkowski was the quarterback for the Falcons. And I'm a Polak, so I like Polish football players. It was like my motivation because maybe one day I could play. And I remember when I went with my dad, I could remember like it was yesterday in the old sombrero. We were at the very top row, and it was the north end zone. And I don't know if you've ever seen the sombrero, the way it was shaped. That's the highest point of the stadium. And I remember looking over and being terrified. Still today, I'm afraid of heights. But I met Bad Buck. And what Bad Buck was, looked like an orange Yosemite Sam. And he was a WDAE radio, because that used to do the Bucs radio back then. And I met him. They can't talk. You know, it's just funny. But I couldn't take my eyes off him, man. He was awesome. And I was just like, who would ever believe that influence that day left me being a Buc fan for life? And even funnier that the mascot, Bad Buck, made me a fan for life. And look what I'm doing. So it's funny how, you know, things come full circle. And sometimes, you know, people think, oh, it's a favorite player. It's this, it's that. No, I just always have been attracted to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since that day, and been a Buc fan since that day and on. So I'm very proud of that. I believe in being loyal to our team. And I believe everybody has something special that makes them a Buc fan. I really do.
No, absolutely. I have a friend who you actually might know personally from the home games. His name is John Crane. He's usually dressed like a pirate, and he has like a really big hat, and he's all decked out in Bucks gear. He's been a season ticket holder for the past, I think, 15 years. So when I told him that I was going to be talking to you today, he was like, "Oh yeah, you got to let him know that, you know, he definitely knows me. If you describe what I wear to the games, like, he's going to know who you're talking about."
You know, names I'm horrible with. Why the heck do you think we all have nicknames, right? And but the thing is, I'll bet you I got kind of an idea who you're talking about, but I'm not sure. I'm better with pictures, obviously. But yeah, hey, that's the crazy part of it, guys. I can remember when there were no face painters when I started. Zilcho. And there was no people dressing like pirates and go to the games. If you're kidding me, they were wearing bags over their heads. And now it's like there's so many character fans, and I welcome it. I think it's, you know, it's almost like I envision praying that we'd be similar to the Black Hole one day, where, you know, we're an intimidating place to come play. And you know what? I've seen that stadium packed. I've seen that stadium in the winning years where there's no way they're going to beat us at home. And I could see us, you know, moving that pendulum that way again. You know, with the additions that we have excitement in Tampa Bay, and man, I just want to get the cannons going, man. Let's get it rocking.
And you know, you've segued me perfectly, into sort of my big question. And obviously, we spoke when you got the nomination for like Ford Hall of Fans. We spoke when you were in Miami going through all that, and that was brilliant. We spoke again since. All those sort of things that have happened to you, are you sort of, and I know that you and a couple of people have already said in the comments that you're such a humble guy. Has it even begun to sort of dawn on you yet, the magnitude of obviously everything that's going on around you? Are you actually able to take any of it in? Because I know you've been to the Super Bowl, you've been to, obviously, like, you've been around huge names in the game, you've been to incredible things. But are you actually able to take any of it in, or is it just feeling like a weird dream at the moment still?
Wow, that's a good point. That's a real good point. As I'm sitting in my sports room that I never sit in anymore, and I'm just looking at these memories, and I'm like, wow, I am definitely blessed, guys. I really am blessed. And what I mean by that is the experiences I have over the years, I think maybe I could write a book. Just the people in general, the players, the staffs with the Bucks, going from the losing seasons all the way and being loyal with them. It's amazing that you develop some kind of, a respect level from your peers that come up and you go, oh, man, are you amazing? You're lucky. You know, it's almost like I remember our Super Bowl year when we won. I walked out of there going, did that really happen? Did we meet all those people? You know, and it just, you know, the best thing you can get from being a fan is the memories that you take home with you, because nobody can take that away from you. Memorabilia comes and goes, but it's the memories and those moments when you meet a certain player or a certain experience of a game where you're like, holy moly, did that just happen? I witnessed that. You know, it's funny, you're watching TV now and you're seeing all these highlights and you're going, wow, I was there. Oh my God, I was there. You know, it's amazing of the memories that I've built up over all these years. And guys, I could just tell you, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a Bucks fan. I'm blessed to be in this situation I am. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to soak it up like a sponge and just take it all in. And try to remember every bit of it, man. Because like I said, you can take every piece of memorabilia away, but you can't take your memories away.
Well, speaking of which, that is a perfect segue into what we're going to do tonight, which I've been looking forward to actually all day long, to be honest. So we are going to debut a new game. And Big Nasty, you are going to be our GOAT, our greatest of all time. All right? So you're going to be... You're going to be the lucky contestant in our new game called One Word. Very, very easy to play. Very fun to play. As a matter of fact, this is to chill in on some of those memories that you were talking about, which I think us Bucks fans would love to kind of dive into as well. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a moment or a player or something that has to do with the Buccaneers. And I want you to give me the first word that comes in your mind. So it could be, you know, there may be a story behind it, because I know one of them that I'm going to say is definitely there's something behind it. So are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right, here we go. In fact, I'm going to start with that, because you started talking about this before the show. So I wanted to kind of get some more insight on this. So maybe this won't be one word. But here's your first one, Doug Williams.
Icon.
Can you elaborate on what you were telling us before? Because here's the thing. I know you were telling us before the show that, you know, they are making a movie about him, which I think is excellent that they're doing that, by the way. But you were telling us some pretty cool stuff about that.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you something. My personal experience with Doug Williams is absolutely amazing. I didn't share this with you guys off air, but I'll share it with you now. When I was 8 years old, I ended up going to a Bobby Bowden football camp, which was the Florida professional football camp, where guess who was there? Doug Williams, Leroy Selman, Scott Brantley, Mark Cotney. Very first football camp I've ever went to in my life. And I remember meeting Doug Williams and his hands being just massive. And there was this one dude, man, that in camp, because there were older kids there that played high school, getting ready for college. And I swear to God, everybody used to call him Giles, Jimmy Giles, because Jimmy was there too. But this kid was muscular, built. I mean, he was ready for college. I watched Doug Williams throw that kid the ball and split his fingers. Literally. Had to get stitches, split his fingers. And he was just normally throwing it. It wasn't like he was whipping it. It was just like you could see the basic. But I remember that day I went, holy moly, that guy can throw a rope. And my memories as a kid, guys, you got to understand this. When everybody plays football, right? That played no matter what. And I remember being a commentator of myself, dropping back the pass. Because believe it or not, this fat guy had a pretty good arm. And I drop back, say, Doug Williams dropping back to pass. He's looking for Giles. He throws an 80-yard bomb. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. And we used to do that all the time, guys. And you never forget your heroes. Doug Williams was my hero. I'm dropping back to be like Doug Williams. Now, I never played quarterback, obviously. I sacked quarterbacks back in the day. But I can tell you right now, those are the best memories that you could ever have. And it's funny, I made that post and people were coming back, I used to do that too, or they had a different player. What about Kevin House? You know, and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, when you think back and you go, wow, how far we've come with the love of our teams. And, you know, the team's always going to be there. Players are going to come and go. But like I told you, it's the memories that stay alive forever, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point. All right, let's go through a couple more here real quick. I wanted to get some story on Doug Williams because I love Doug Williams too. And so I wanted to hear a little bit about that. Let's rapid fire on a couple of these. Next one, Tony Dungy.
Brilliant.
That's a good one. I like that. All right. Keyshawn Johnson.
Difference maker.
All right. All right. That's a good one. Are you sure you want to elaborate on that one?
I can tell you right now, he was an instrumental part of free agency coming to Tampa Bay to make our team move in the right direction. And I tell you right now, you don't win a Super Bowl without Keyshawn Johnson. You don't win a Super Bowl without Keenan McCardell. I mean, you got to think, man, it's putting those pieces together. And whether you liked him, whether he was cocky, whatever the situation, he's still a winner.
Yeah. James, Braybuck, did you have some? Go ahead.
I do not actually. I was going to say, I think that's perfectly summed up Keyshawn Johnson, really. You know, say what you want about him off the field, say what you want about him in the locker room, in the coaches' studies, but you know what? And as Jay there says, Jojo Revicius too, these are the players that you need to actually push you over the end, as it were, push you sort of toward that Super Bowl. Would I want Keyshawn Johnson on my team knowing this kind of individual he might turn out to be? Probably not. If it was just raw ability, every time you take Keyshawn Johnson and you start him and you don't take him off the field. Hey, Dean, welcome to the show. You know, I've actually got a one-word answer for you. And that is the Ring of Honor.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Wow. So I just want to get you.
Did we stump him here?
Johnson. Just so I understand, you're saying Keyshawn Johnson should be in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I'm saying, are you agreeing with me that just playing wise, James? Don't look at me like that. Playing wise, he's got to be in there. I think he absolutely changed the offense. He did exactly what Warren Sapp brought him in to do. Did it end well? No. Was he a crucial part of Tampa Bay history? Undeniably.
I'm with Big Nasty because he's saying wrong, but he's trying to find a polite way to do it.
Right.
No. What I'm saying is eventually he could be a Ring of Honor. There's just so many more that are deserving that need to get in there. I can throw a bunch of the Hardy Nickersons of the world. The Ricky Bells. I mean, we can go. How about James Wilder, for goodness sakes? I mean, they may not have all been on Super Bowl champions, but I could tell you, you talk about instrumental with development of the team to where it is eventually. You know, it is what it is, but I just, we got a lot of coaches. Now we give defensive coordinators in the Ring of Honor. I get it. I was surprised, to be honest with you. Is it deserving? Yeah. I mean, obviously, Tampa 2, a genius as far as defensive coordinator with Monty Kiffin. But I just thought there was some older guys up there that deserved to get in before him, like the Hardy Nickersons of the world. Like I said, James Wilder, Ricky Bell. Those names, they're pretty instrumental in history, but that's the problem. I won't say it's the problem. It's an age difference. You know what I mean? It's like knowing the history, and I pray that our Buck youth fans go and grab one of those elementary books that tell you about the educate yourself about Buccaneer history. Look at that stuff. I mean, because it's fascinating. You love reading about your team. Go do it. Learn more about your team. Yeah. And I think we should do that more. But that's just my personal opinion. But yeah, I can see John getting in there.
I agree with you completely when it comes to reading books about your teams. I actually read a book about the Cowboys dynasty in the 90s, and I feel like I just learned so much more knowledge about my team and the history and how far they've come and, you know, where they were before. So, yeah, I definitely recommend reading sports books on teams.
If Hardy Nickerson is not in the Ring of Honor, then Keyshawn shouldn't even be a thought. Hardy Nickerson brought way more than Keyshawn Johnson ever did to this team. Look, I get it. Keyshawn is a guy he's the rah-rah guy. But I'm just letting you know, and he's talented. I'm not saying he wasn't talented either. But I think there are a lot more deserving people. Because I'm not going to lie to you, outside of John Lynch, who is my favorite Buccaneer of all time, and really is, I mean, the guy, Hardy Nickerson was right there next to him for me. That's who I grew up watching when I was a little kid. I saw Hardy Nickerson on the field. He was actually going to be my next one word for you, Big Nasty. So talk about him real quick. Hardy Nickerson, one word.
Franchise changer. He brought free agents to Tampa. He was the one that put the Bucs on the map. Because, guys, that's when we were horrible. And he came in and how they got him from Pittsburgh. But he didn't just come as a free agent and just say, hey, let me take my fat check. Hardy Nickerson brought it. I mean, you talk about nastiness. He brought the nastiness, man. He let me tell you something. Just go back and watch some of the games where you see him lay the wood on some of these ball carriers. I'm telling you right now, it's amazing that they even got back up. And the thing is, when you're playing, in any time you're playing football, you feed off of that. And I'll tell you what, the defense fed off of it. And then, you know what, it was kind of a, hey, now we got the leader, because we didn't have a leader back then. Now we got the leader to start bringing up everybody, you know, and then obviously look what it's evolved into. And, you know, evolution changes all the time. So, you know, who would ever believe that Tampa Bay would have a unbelievable offense? Well, back in the day, guys, we were all defense. Defense is what survived. That's what got us through the winning seasons back then. And now, guys, we got a chance to be in the top three, top, you know, top five, definitely, offense. So, you know, it's just funny how things have changed. And now we're like, hey, if we can get the defense, you know, move it up a little bit to maybe top 10 or top 15, we're going to win. Well, shoot, back in the day, everybody knew they didn't want to play the Bucs defense back in then, because they knew they were going to get slobber knockered. And they came with it. They came with the nasty grit and played tough. But Hardy definitely set the tone to say, you better buckle your chin straps, buddy, because I'm coming.
And I feel like he set the tone for guys like John Lynch, Derrick Brooks, those guys that were also really hard-hitting players. I mean, both of those guys. Warren Sapp, it was so funny. I remember watching the Super Bowl DVD. At every time Warren Sapp talked about John Lynch, he was that hard-hitting white boy. That's what he used to call him. Yep. And it was so funny to me, because he really was like – he was one of the reasons that John Lynch, I fell in love with football, is just because – the dude could just clearly just knock someone out. I mean, I've never seen anyone just be able to dish out pain, other than maybe Hardy Nickerson, like you brought up, dish out pain the way that John Lynch did. That was fantastic. So definitely good stuff. All right, three more real quick, and then we're going to get you out of here. The old sombrero.
Home.
That place was, I don't know. I like what we have now. I like what we
not
have
me.
Now.
Not me. You must be a skinny guy, because we used to have the flat benches where the fat guy could take on three spots. Now I got to worry about staying in my only seat. It kind of stinks. I used to love those benches, man. You know, it was home. It was home. It really was.
Yeah, I like the new screens. Maybe that's my thing. I don't know. Yeah. I just like – the screens are awesome.
Oh, that's just technology moving, man. Golly, right. If you looked at some of the billboards we used to have, it was all digital. Looked like something like from Pac-Man or something. But
they were awesome, though.
And no joke, half of it would be out almost every game, every time. It was, you know, and it's funny because they would sing The Bucks Know How to Shine. You know, they'd have that, all the statements, and it's funny because every time on the bottom corner, they wouldn't fit. You couldn't read the bottom line. I'm saying, I hope they know what the hell they're singing, because they're not going to get the last line. So that's a true story, too. I can remember that.
That's great. All right, James, go ahead. You had one.
Yeah, I just want to sort of jump in there, Big Nasty, sort of take you back to the last point, because this is something that I always enjoy doing whenever – you and me get together. I love picking your brains about who reminds you of who and who you can see developing on the roster. Who would you say, taking obviously Hardy Nickerson, your Warren Sapp, your Derrick Brooks, your John Lynch, taking all these like big hitting playmaking leaders on the field, who would you say on the Bucs roster right now either is that role or could move into that role?
Different game, guys. First of all, everybody in the NFL can hit, and everybody can lay the wood as far as linebackers that we have on our linebacking staff, period. But the head hunting that they used to do, you're not going to see another John Lynch the rest of your – not with these rules. You're never going to see that again. You're not going to see the Ronnie Lotts of the world, the Steve Atwaters. You're not going to see that anymore, guys. That's gone. Now it's more of – who's the better tackler? You know, who's the better pursuit guy? And who can read? You got to have smarts in this game now. It's totally different than just out-muscling your team, the guy, your opponent. This game is strategic. This game is, like I said, all about form and tackling. Do I think we have some hard hitters once in a while? Yeah, but I don't see the John Lynch's. I don't see anybody, man. I'm being honest. I like to hear your guys' views, but I don't see anybody like that.
Well, this is why I sort of, because as you say, it is a completely different game these days. And do you remember that like safety we got? Was it, I can't remember, from San Francisco, Golson?
Yeah.
Help me out here.
From San Francisco. Okay, you're losing me.
He was, I think we had him for like two seasons. He was a big free agent signing.
Are you talking about Kwan?
No.
The left for San Fran? He was a hitter. He could lay the wood.
I'm going back, I think, about like five-ish years now. And he picked up he was getting popped for personal fouls twice a game, minimum. James Ludeman, you're our research man.
I have no idea who you're talking about. Yeah, I'm sitting here.
He made this guy up.
Now you got me thinking of the defense, the DBs that throw their head in the game. I just don't think he'll be a John Lynch, but a hard hitter is Whitehead. Whitehead brings the wood, man. Whitehead can fly. Mm-hmm. And that kid right there can lay the wood. I've seen him lay some licks, and I'm like, and he's not a very big guy at all, guys, but I've seen some slobber knockers come out of that guy. But he also gets concussions, obviously, too. But hopefully the injury bug will stay away from him. And, you know, that's why this game's so different, man. It's all about longevity and form and being a good tackler. That's the key now these days, man.
Gashon Golson.
Oh, okay.
2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott came in at the same time.
Who?
Exactly.
Didn't do nothing for us.
That was before the Jameis.
This is my point. And you know what? Yes. This is like,
If you're talking about when they, if you're talking about when they leave and do great things, well, Doug Williams won an MVP.
We have a lot of those.
Super Bowl. No. That is not what I'm saying. My point is basically how far the game has gone, because we did have that hard hitting safety, and then he was getting flagged every single play nearly for being a hard hitting safety. I know, obviously, you've seen in the comments saying like Devin White is quite a firm tackler, but do you see then maybe instead of a physical leader emerging, like more of like a mental leader, someone who's like leading by example?
I think there's somebody already that's been doing it all the time, and that's Levante David. That guy is amazing. I believe he came out of West Virginia too, and nobody expected him to be what he is. But I think he's been a phenomenal mentor for all of our linebackers. The Cinchies in the world too, that are still on our roster. So do I think he's the leader? He's the voice? Yeah, I think if you're looking at motor, you got the David. But if you're looking at leadership, I got to tell you, you got the front end helps the back end. I think JPP is just instrumental with that D line. I really do. I think that's going to be great. And we'll see what happens. Like I said, if we can just move up a couple notches and just, you know, don't give up the big play and play smart football, which I think, you know, a second year under this defense, watch out, guys. We may get the full effect. Who knows? We may be in Ray J Super Bowl day, baby. And that would be an all-time
time in NFL history.
You know, it's a huge goal. And you know what? If we get there, unbelievable. I mean, that's like holy moly. Yeah. But I'll be happy we get to the playoffs. And once you're in the tournament, it's anybody's ball game. We'll see what happens. But no, I'm excited about it. I'm sure you all are too. I mean, I'm just tired of this, man. I want it to start now. Yeah, I feel like it's been 5 years since we watched the football game. So
this has literally been the longest off season I've ever seen in my life. I literally,
because there's been no baseball.
Yeah,
there's been nothing. Yeah, there's been nothing. No hockey, no baseball, no anything. One more question for me, Big Nasty, before we let you go, and this is kind of a fun one as well. But I saw this on Twitter today, and I wanted to ask you this because I think it would be great to get your perspective on this real quick. I want you to maybe name one player as a Bucs fan that you have watched play for another team that you just cannot stand? I know you don't hate anybody because that's just not who you are. But over the years, has there been one player that you're like, dude, this guy, just I can't. I don't. And for me, it was Michael Vick for me. Michael Vick was a great, great quarterback. But, man, he frustrated us so bad so many times. And it was okay. Just like, oh, like, who is so that you're guy not talking.
Okay, let me understand. You're not talking about a Buccaneer player that left to be a free
agent. No. I'm talking about anyone. Someone on another team. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many.
Well, name a couple. Name a couple of them.
Well,
I was going to say, Nasty's been doing this for a while.
I don't know what it is about the Panthers, but Cam Newton comes to mind. And, you know, when you know, he's beaten us a lot of times, too. Cam Newton. Ones that I actually despise. That's a tough one. Despise. Carolina Panthers, I don't know what it is. Always, I can't stand it, man. It just drives me nuts. I don't know if it's the uniform. I don't know if it's the way they came in new, you know, strutting their stuff back in it. I just can't stand the Panthers, man. I could even deal with the Falcons. I can deal with the Saints. Can't stand the Panthers, but Cam Newton, I would say, would be one of them. But
how do you feel about him still being a free agent, still not being signed? Does that surprise you in any way?
That's the crazy thing, guys. He could be a Buck if something, God forbid, happened. You hear what I'm saying to you? So I got to watch what I'm saying because who knows? You know what I mean?
So, don't you call it into being. No.
You know, no. And who would ever think I'd be wanting Freeman to come play running back for us? And here he was a Falcon. I used to complain about that sorry dog all the time. But ones that I despise? No, I would only say Cam Newton. That Superman thing used to drive me nuts. And I remember the coolest thing, I went as Big Nasty and I brought me a Superman outfit from a Halloween store and I ripped it apart when we crushed him and we beat him. I think we beat him twice in 1 year. I can't remember. And, you know how photography and all the TV, they got nuts over that. But yeah, that was he's the only one I could think of at this moment. But teams that we've really dominated and always were like had respect for, but golly, we just couldn't get over the hump and finally doing it is obviously Eagles, man. Everybody on the Eagles I couldn't stand back then. I hope that helped you. I don't know.
Yeah, that was great. All right. Well, Big Nasty, we want to first of all again congratulate you, Ford Hall of Fans. You're gonna be going to Canton still, correct, as of right now?
Yes, sir. Everything's planned to go. We'll know after July 4th as far as what itinerary and stuff like that will be. But I'm sure it'll be a shortened version. Mm-hmm. I just hope they have the Hall of Fame game because I think it's Pittsburgh and Dallas, believe it or not, Ruth, are playing. Oh, no. And I'll tell you right now, I'd love to go watch that game because, you know, my age group, that's what we watched. Those were the two best teams growing up.
Yep, the Steelers, Cowboys, yeah.
But I'm excited about it. I mean, I just hope I started walking and getting exercise because all this dang belly I got, I just hope I fit in my blue jacket. That would be embarrassing as hell. You get up there and they try to slide a blue jacket and the damn button pops. That wouldn't be a good thing.
Oh, so, Richard, why would you do? No, I'm playing. All right. All right. Well, anyway, Big Nasty, always a pleasure having you on, man. Thank you for your time. You are awesome, and it's well-deserved. And hopefully, while you're in Canton, maybe you can squeeze in a show, maybe, from Canton. That would be awesome to talk to you, figure out how things are going.
We'll have to make as soon as I get the itinerary on it, what the heck they're doing, let's do it. I'm sure we can break away and do this, man. So I just want to thank you guys for having me on. It's always been fun talking Buckball with you guys. And God bless. Go Bucks. And remember, always get nasty.
All right. Thank you, man.
Talk to you soon.
Take care, man. Bye-bye. Nice meeting you, Ruth.
Nice. As likewise.
Man, he's awesome.
I love having that guy. I love that guy. He is amazing.
Yeah, 30+ years. That's dedication. That's how much money do you think he has spent on season tickets throughout 30 years?
I don't even want to know.
I probably don't want to know. House.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. When he says when he says Cam Newton, that a player that is a Buccaneer fan, you just can't stand. I'll tell you, he's telling the honest truth. And I'm going to share this with you. And this is where it happened for me. My wife and I, we won tickets to a Bucs game. Now, we had already had season tickets up in the heavens. It was our first year having it, so it was 2015. And I'll never forget, we won tickets at our job, and we ended up getting to go down and sit on the lower level. And we were about eight rows behind the Bucs bench on the 40-yard line. It was beautiful. Nice. So that game, there were two different rain delays right in the middle of the game. But I will never forget, I'm sitting eight rows away, and I'm watching Cam Newton run down the field, run away from us, and he scores a rushing touchdown. And the first thing he does is this stupid thing right here. And I just look at him and go, oh, like, please just go away. You know, like, he's so good that it's difficult to like him because he's so good. But, man, I'm telling you, he's very right. There were not a lot of players playing against them that I'm just like, man, I hope we beat them 76-0.
I always think it was Jay in the comments that he was like, Tom Brady was my most hated.
Yeah, I was well,
like, do you still feel that way now?
It's amazing what a jersey change will do for a guy.
Right.
I know, right?
Speaking of jerseys.
Speaking of jerseys, what?
Okay.
Are we not going to talk about the release of Tom Brady in the Bucs jersey?
That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful today. Go ahead, Britt Buck. You've been trying. Britt Buck's been trying to see some.
You know what? That was a beautiful intro, and I was. Do you know what? I was prepared, like, to go. Actually, you know what? That intro was so smooth. I'm just going to fade away. I'm going to let that be. And then, what did you do, James? What did you do? You messed it up.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, all right, well, we're gonna...
shotguns aiming at that. But yeah.
Before we move forward, I have to say one thing, just one thing I have to say real quick, because we're doing something special. I'm gonna take these out just for a second, so that way.
And well, we lost James, so I'm going to carry on talking. So,
I'm back. Sorry.
I was just literally going to ask Ruth if she could buy a house in Cleveland.
Why would I want to move to Cleveland? No,
because it's not Detroit.
They prepare their food near the street. Anyway,
I feel like I should have balloons behind me.
For the last little bit of this show, we're going to take your comments, but also, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take your phone calls. That's right. We're going to take your phone calls live. If you want to call in, 727-300-5900. That is the phone number. If you want to call and talk some Bucks, if you have something you want to say, and you know what? Even if you want to go ahead and prank call us, just get it out of the way right now. Just go ahead and do it. I know Donnie's been waiting to prank call us for like a month now. Go ahead and just do whatever it is you got to do. But if you want to call in, 727-300-5904, we'll take some of your calls, and we'll obviously keep the comments going. Go ahead, Britt Buck. You're up now.
Take it away.
Whatever. Maybe I don't want to talk now. I am not your dancing monkey. But anyway. But you know what? Actually, a player who... This might go over your head a little bit, Ruth. But James will absolutely know who I mean, and he will probably remember why I'm going to say this. Tony Gonzalez.
That name sounds really familiar.
He's the player that I absolutely despised whenever he was on the field against the Bucs. I just, every single time, because you knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was catching that football, no matter how badly thrown it was, no matter how many defensive players were all over him, he was catching that ball. It was preordained. And he just had that really, really annoying habit of just killing the game, moving those chains just a little bit at a little bit. They could run 2 yards, they could run 1 yard, but then they'd pass it for 8 yards to Tony Gonzalez. And it was just nothing like you could do about it. So, yeah, Tony Gonzalez was the player that I absolutely despised during his career.
Al Bushman from Sports Caffeine has tuned in with us. Thank you.
Who did he retire with?
He says, Tony Gonzalez is a Hall of Fame tight end. He retired with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
He did.
He did. Yes, he did.
And, he should have retired a Falcon, though. As much as I hated him when he was playing, I hated him for the right reasons, though, so it's okay. But he should have retired a Falcon.
So my most hated player was definitely Michael Vick for the longest time. Obviously, they're in the same division as the Cowboys, and then all that madness with dogfighting, I'm totally against that. So Michael Vick. And then he was just so explosive and running it in every time, so he was hard to stop.
Yeah, Donnie being the optimist that he is, he never won a Super Bowl. That's right. You know what though? At least he went, didn't he? He went 1 year. Michael Vick went 1 year, didn't he?
I'm sure he didn't.
Oh no, you know what? That was Rob Johnson. Never mind. Atlanta did go before they got him. They played Green Bay, and that's when Brett Favre.
Favre. That was a couple of years before they drafted him. A couple of years before they went really bad.
That's right.
But Vic never went to a Super Bowl.
That's a bummer.
Oops.
Oopsie.
I feel like I should have one of those like instruments that just goes.
Yeah, we got a new intro, but we couldn't afford sound effects too, so we had to pick one or the other. One or the other, guys.
You guys seem to like the intro, so we just thought we'd mess with you, so we changed the intro. No,
it's funny because I don't even think most people saw it. There was like one person when we started the show. I mean, thankfully, you guys have tuned in as we've kind of gotten along, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of people have not seen the intro yet. I don't know.
All right, so make sure to check on Apple Podcasts tomorrow and just rewatch this whole episode.
Look at Root the Truth over here.
Oh, yeah. And also, I actually noticed on my Spotify account that the Set the Sails podcast is also on Spotify. So, you know what? If you're not an Apple user and you use Spotify instead, we're also there.
We're on Google Podcasts, too, by the way. We're on a lot of stuff.
Oh, we're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
We're international.
All right, so let me ask you guys in the comments that are watching, and even if you want to call in 727-300-5904, of course, if you want to call in and answer this question, we would love to have it. But who is your least favorite player or team? We'll even expand it to team. Who is that team or player that you just absolutely could not stand, no matter how much you just – oh. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, that was Cam Newton was the guy for me. But I'm gonna tell you right now, the team for me is the New Orleans Saints. I'm sorry, I cannot do it. I mean, I get it. Like, I don't hate the Cowboys at all. I know Al Bushman just said Cowboys. I get it. They're who they are.
I feel that every day of my life. I'm used to that.
It's not all of the Saints fans. It's just some of them. It's some of them that just have this mentality of we are just the best and we're better than you and no matter what you can do. Now that's in the NFL. We could talk about other sports later, but I'm just saying in the NFL. For me, it's definitely the Saints.
For me, it's the Giants. It's always been the Giants. And I just feel like after their Super Bowl wins and, you know, beating Tom Brady and Eli Manning's head, you know, being this big, I couldn't stand them.
For me, it's the Boston Bruins. I know that they're not an NFL team, but nothing will ever replace how much I hate the Bruins. And if you're going to press me, like, the next team, like, that I hate the most is probably, as Donnie jumps in there, the Eagles. I equally despise the Falcons, Panthers, and Saints as division rivals. But you know what? Sometimes I can respect them. I can sometimes respect, like, something on, like, a division rival does. But the Eagles, how are you supposed to root for anyone who threw, like, snowballs at Santa? Who threw, like, beer bottles?
What are we talking about?
Oh, Ruth, the truth needs an education on
it. Right.
Go online. Go on YouTube. This is your homework for this week. In fact, we're going to start a segment called Ruth the Truth Homework Assignment. All right? Homework Assignment. That's what we're going to call it. Ruth the Truth Homework Assignment. Your homework assignment for this week is to go and look up the video of Eagles fans throwing things at Santa.
Okay.
It will change your life. And then you will realize why Britt Buck and even myself to a certain degree. Now I don't hate them as much today as I used to, but I will tell you the homework assignment for you is to go and hate the Eagles fans.
Okay, Eagles fans throwing snowballs at Santa. Okay.
Oh, they didn't just throw snowballs at Santa. They threw a lot of stuff.
Bottles of beer and everything.
poor guy.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Have you ever seen the film Invincible with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, okay, Ruth, that is your.
I feel like I've seen every Mark Wahlberg movie.
You would.
Okay. Now, I know that you must have Disney Plus, right?
No. Wait, why are you just going to assume that I have Disney Plus? No, I have Netflix and Hulu.
How dare you not have Disney Plus? Everybody who's cool has Disney Plus, by the way.
I don't have Disney Plus.
Why do you not have Disney Plus?
Because I already spend a lot on Netflix and Hulu.
Netflix is garbage compared to Disney Plus. Anyway, whatever. That's a whole. Leave your favorite in the comments. Are you a Disney Plus, Netflix, or Hulu person? You
By the way,
all the way.
This is just sort of leading you into like another project that we're going to have coming to you shortly. Isn't just going to be books related. But yeah, Ruth, you know, I'm part of your homework assignment.
Online classes right now. You guys know that, right?
Look at
homework.
Help Bushman package all together with ESPN Plus for $12.99. I'm telling you, that's it. Bam. You're sold right there. That's it.
Wait, Disney Plus and ESPN?
Yes. Okay. You can package all together. What?
What? I don't even believe that. I'm going to have to do my research on that.
Sorry. I'm talking to my in-house producer right now about why nobody's calling in, Donnie. Donnie's probably stopping everybody from calling in.
To be fair, it actually costs us a fortune. Like, as I say, believe it or not, we're literally to make the call from Canada to you yourselves down there is a small fortune.
Well, let's see. We actually got a Twitter comment. Let's take a look at this one. Guess Ruth and I are Ruth and me are only ones on Earth that don't have Disney Plus. That comes from.
I knew I wasn't alone.
Eek Tweeter? I don't know.
Egg Tweeter.
I think his name's Justin.
Oh, Egg Tweeter. Oh my gosh.
That's my
homework assignment. Learn how to read.
It really is Roll Tide, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
So that was Justin. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I knew his name was Justin.
Okay. Cheers, Justin.
Shout out to you, Justin. No Disney Plus. Gang gang.
But you know we're not shouting out that.
Yeah.
Well, as you can tell, guys, the phone lines are ringing off the hook right now. We don't even know
how to answer these phones.
I don't know. All these phone calls that are coming in. Dean Jensen, can you call in? How about you call in? Let's talk to Dean Jensen. How about that? I love it. Oh, man.
One of my friends was watching, just texted me, was like, what's Disney Plus?
Oh, my God.
And you're laughing at me, right? Huh? That's what I thought.
What is happening right now to this show? This show has gone completely off the rails. Big Nasty Lee.
You're uncontrollable.
Number.
We need to keep Big Nasty just to keep
zero.
The messages in chat.
Hold on. Dean Jensen's asking what the number is. Maybe he'll call.
727-300-5904.
Wow. Okay. About the number, James. I've already done that, Jay. God. All right, so maybe we'll wait. I was trying to kind of wait around for Animal too. Animal had a, oh my gosh, Donnie, can I block him?
That's hilarious.
Donnie. Anyway, Donnie should be our are a fan of the show. Because here's the thing, I'm actually stalling just a little bit because we do have to talk about one more thing before we get moving here. But I definitely want to give Block. What do you mean Block? Is he blocking me?
No, he's saying Block.
James, when you talk to your friend, he's being mean.
When did I become like mummy or daddy in this?
Oh, hold on, we got a call coming in. Hello, welcome to Set the Sails, the podcast. Who we got?
You are live.
It's Dean. How are you guys doing?
Dean Jensen is here.
Welcome to the show.
Dean,
how's it going over there?
It's going good, man. How are you holding up?
Well, I can't complain. It doesn't do me good.
Oh my goodness. All right. So Dean Jensen is joining us on the hotline that we don't have a sponsor to yet. So if you have a sponsor in mind, then we'll get a hotline sponsor out of that one. But Dean, let me talk to you about this. First of all, we've been watching Ryan do some amazing cooking. All right. I'm not gonna lie to you. The cooking has been pretty awesome. Are you the one who taught him how to cook?
Oh, heavens no. That kid, when he was like 9 years old, started cooking dinners and stuff for us. He was a natural. And then he's just studied over the years, you know, and paid attention to good chefs. And you see, him and his brother had this dream that, you know, Seth was a really good football player as well. Played for Nebraska. That Seth was going to be in the NFL. Ryan was going to be the chef, and he and Seth were going to open a chain of restaurants called Chicky Red's. So, you know.
Wow. I like that name.
That's interesting. I never would have known that. That's pretty awesome. See, this is stuff you only get on Set the Sails right here. That's it.
This is exclusive. Exclusive.
So, no, to answer your question, I'm a pretty mediocre cook. I mean, I can do some stuff, but honestly, when it comes to grilling, I usually call the man up and say, give Pop some hints.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Brett Buck. I know you got a question.
I was actually just going to ask, because I know, just quickly before I ask you, Dean, just something that, you know, some of our fans might be aware, there was a horrendous incident with Ryan involving his car. Obviously that is being looked into at the moment. Fortunately, Ryan is okay, from what we've heard, but I just wanted to ask, Dean, how is sort of Ryan doing at the moment with all this going on?
Well, you know, Ryan's a pretty resilient guy. Of course, he was pretty upset about the whole thing. And, you know, being a dad, you know, and a husband, you're very protective of your family. So, but he's taking steps. I'll leave it at that. He's taking steps to make sure that kind of an incident doesn't happen again at his residence there in Tampa.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and, you know, we had an article on that, and you know, we're all obviously definitely don't want stuff like that to go down also, because, you know, we like Ryan. You know, Ryan is a great, great guy. You're obviously a great guy, great friend of our show. We appreciate you, you know, coming on and spending a few minutes with us here. One thing, and actually Scott Bradford asked this question, and I'm not sure if you'll know the answer to this or not, but if you do, that would be great. Maybe even get a little insight on this. But has Ryan talked to you any about his interactions with Tom and kind of, maybe some things he's picked up and learned possibly, or maybe some experience he shared with you?
You know, the only conversations Ryan and I have had about his football endeavor since he got back and, you know, been around Tom have been, you know, pretty low level. I just asked him what kind of guy Tom was, and he says he's really laid back. He's actually, you know, just real quiet, but he knows what he needs. He knows what he wants, and, you know, just has that kind of a quiet, strong presence. So, you know, and, you know, of course, everybody made the big jokes about the towels and stuff like that. And Ryan thought that was pretty humorous. And, you know, he kind of made some jokes about it too. But as far as that goes, you know, I don't talk shop with Ryan a whole lot, you know, because it'd be like me, him calling me up and saying, well, Dad, how was work today? And then calling me up and asking me the same thing tomorrow. Because, you know, it just, I prefer to be more dad than I do to quiz him on, you know, what's happening with things from a day to day outlook with him and his job.
Absolutely, and I think that you're, man, just based on the, you know, interactions that I've seen on online and his playing ability, and I think you're doing a great job, man. And I know we've had some conversation and things like that. You do a lot with guitars. I mean, I saw you sent me some pictures of some of the guitars that you've kind of refurbished. Is that your day to day job? You refurbish guitars?
More of a hobby than a job. I mean, I just kind of take them as they come, and I've built my granddaughter a guitar, and of course I'm working on ones for the grandson. I've got one in the works for my older boy for the Pueblo Police Department. So I tinker around with that, and then I do some repair work for my buddy who owns a music store in Eastern Colorado. So he'll bring in guitars up to me for me to work on. So, and then of course I play live music out with him and his wife. So enjoy my music and enjoy the guitars.
Absolutely. Is there, now you mentioned you play live music. Is there somewhere that we can tell our fans to check out some of your guys' music? Anything you want to promote real quick before we let you go?
Yeah, sure. We have a Facebook page called In the Groove, duo/trio. And the reason we're called that is because there's times that, of course, with football going on, that I don't make all the gigs. So that's kind of how we're advertised. But it's on Facebook. You guys can jump on there, give us a like, and there's some videos of us playing out live. And I play guitar, and I also play fiddle.
Well, that's awesome, man. All right. Well, Dean Jensen joining us live on the No Sponsor Hotline. And thank you so much, Dean. And we hope you have a good rest of your week, man. And hope to talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right. You guys take care. Love the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
You bet.
What a good dude.
I love talking to that guy, but he raises something that's like a really, really good point. And I know, I know we've been guilty of this as well, and I've seen other people being guilty of this, but it's like Ryan Jensen is an NFL center. To the fans, he is a larger-than-life character. To Dean, he's his kid who's going to his job. Yeah, like, Dean's absolutely proud of him, but as you say, it'd be like someone asking how your day had gone and so on and so forth. It is literally, as he says, it's talking shop. But right. It's an interesting perspective, though, because I don't think many people see it like that. Mm-hmm. They still see Ryan Jensen, this larger-than-life character.
Right.
Well, Ryan Jensen's just going to – I'm telling you, he's going to have a great year. I'm telling you, I really think so. You know, I think that just based on some of the interactions that I've seen and some of the things that he said – you know, over the last several weeks, even in just interviews and things like that, man, he's going to be ready to go. And I'm excited. JP Peterson and I had a good conversation about Ryan last week on the show, and which you can catch the JP Peterson show, by the way, every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. in Tampa or on the FanStream Sports app, which, of course, we're also a part of that as well. So definitely some cool stuff there. But I think it's awesome that Ryan is just coming into this year, and I'm just excited to see what all he's going to do. Cheedy's in the house. What's up, Cheedy? Cheedy's watching. Cheedy, call in, man. We still got a few more minutes left. You want to call in?
Come hang out with us.
727-300. Actually, Ruth, you say it. You sound cool.
727-300-559-04. Call now.
559-04.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have more of like a jingly type thing, like 727-300-5904.
No, like
guess you on the floor.
No, we want people to turn in and call, not leave the show. And
whatever. You know, a true artist is never appreciated in their own time.
Oh my goodness! All right. Well, since we have a few more minutes, let's go ahead and talk about this contest that we have coming up with Set the Sails. What?
I know. It's incredible.
It really is. So here is what is going to happen. I'm going to give you all the details, the deets, if you will. All right? The deets.
The 411.
That's a Ruth the Truth line right there. I'm giving you the deets. It's salty and lit, bro. Come on, fam. All right, anyway, so here's like five people just turned off the channel. So here we go. So here is our giveaway. This is what we're going to do. We're going to give an NFL jersey of your choice. Any team you want. It could be the stupid Cowboys. It could be your Buccaneers. It could be a New York Giants jersey if you really love them. It could be a jersey from anywhere, any player that you choose. Compliments, of course, of our sponsor, the Jersey Wave. Now, this is how we're going to do it this time around. I have set up a fantasy football league for Set the Sails. Yours truly will be the commissioner. And unfortunately, because I wasn't able to figure out how to do it, I have to play in this tournament. So if I win in this tournament, I'm going to donate my jersey to some charity. Okay, I'm not sure which one, but we'll figure that out down the line. Okay, so that means out of 20 spots, I've taken one. There are 19 spots remaining in this tournament. All right. Now, normally when you play in a fantasy.
I'm not one of them. What? I'm not one of them, by the way, guys.
No, he's not one of them at all. And I don't, and Ruth the Truth, I don't think is one of them either, because she doesn't like Disney Plus. We're not letting her in. So no, I'm kidding. So here is what will happen. We are going to normally when you play fantasy football, and I'll tell you this for you guys, because you may not be as familiar, but if you play fantasy football, it's usually 10 to 12 people. And you all play head-to-head against each other. Well, it's going to be head-to-head. However, we are going to have divisions. So because there are so many people, we split up divisions. So we will have a North Division, a South Division, an East Division, and a West Division. There will be five teams in each division, and that's how we're going to do the Fantasy Football League. If you win this league, if you at the end of the season, you stand tall as champion, which, by the way, will be difficult because I'm playing. So you're not going to win, mainly because I'm playing. No, I'm just kidding. But we are going to have the winner is going to win a jersey of your choosing from our sponsor, the Jersey Wave. We've already got that taken care of. Now, Donnie asked a good question. How are we going to draft? Well, it's very simple. We are going to have a draft together as a Set the Sails draft party, which we're going to have live here on Facebook together. So we're going to stream that draft party, and we're going to talk some football in between, but we're also going to go through the picks, and I'll have that live streaming as well as we go along, okay? So I will schedule the draft for a later time, and I'll let you guys know well in advance when that's going to happen, all right? Now, I'll bet your last question is, how do you get into the fantasy football opportunity? Well, here's what we're going to do. I am, as soon as this show is over, on the Bucks Life media page, I'm going to post a picture of our sponsor, the Jersey Wave. I'm going to put that picture in the post. And then what you are going to do is you are going to put your name. All you have to do is put your name. That's it. You don't have to put a number. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You're going to just put a number or put your name. All right. Once you put your name, you will be entered into a lottery. And then that lottery will determine who is going to be in the league. All right. 19 spots available. So if your name's there and there's 19 people and that's how many sign up, then that's how many you have and everybody will get in. So obviously, we want to make sure that we get everybody we can as fairly as we can. So that's how we're going to do it. It's going to be a lottery to determine who is going to be in it. And once we announce that, which we will do, by the way, next Monday night, we will announce who is going to be in our league. You'll get a link. You'll sign up. And then we'll put you in the divisions and things like that. But we're going to do the lottery next week right here on Set the Sails. All right? So simple. Go to Bucks Life Media page, go to the Bucks Life Media page, like the sponsor, the Jersey Wave post, tag yourself in the comments, and that's it. And then next Monday night, we will reveal the 19 people who will be a part of the Fantasy Football Set the Sails draft and league. All right?
But there's only one winner, right? Or there's one out of each group?
No, there's one winner. Okay. So what will happen is it'll be just like regular football. All the divisions will play each other. Okay. They'll go through that schedule. You'll play some other teams as well here and there. And then whoever qualifies for the playoffs will get into the playoffs, and then they'll battle it out that way, just like a regular league.
Okay.
Four divisions, five teams in each league, and there you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
That was a mouthful. There was a lot to that. There's a lot to it. But, again, I'll explain it all again on the post so you guys won't be as confused reading it, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see kind of how that looks. So Animal's here. Do you guys want to touch base with him real quick?
Hello, Animal.
Well, he's not here
animal,
yet.
Animal. Oh, okay. Animal? Then I'm going to quickly say this as well. Like, to all the people joining in, this is going to be part of like a whole show thing that we're doing where we're going to talk about like the Fantasy Football League. I might not be able to play fantasy football, but I can certainly talk about how players have done. James is, of course, going to be biased. And Ruth is going to bring the truth. So look forward to that, guys.
He is the truth. So we're about to be joined here in just a moment by Joe Animal Fulfer. He was supposed to join us earlier. He had a meeting he had to go to, but he's going to join us here in just a second. And as a matter of fact, here he is, the animal himself. What's up, man?
Hey, hang on just a second. I'm hearing some double feedback here. Just a second.
Hold on.
There we go. I got it now. How you guys doing?
And of course, a
very lovely and talented Ms. Ruth the Truth. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Big Jay, what's going on, dude?
Why don't I get a lovely and talented? Where is my lovely and talented? I'm lovely.
You're just talented. You're just talented, okay?
We'll see all if right? I do your intro video, huh?
Well, there you go. Hey, by the way, I would love to get hooked up with you on how to do. I'm not very good at editing and all that. I would love to learn how to do that. You know, yeah, I don't know who did your intro, which is what I need to do. So right. If you can try and help me out with that, I would appreciate it. But I'm sorry I had to back out at the last minute. There was a meeting that I had to attend to tonight. So hopefully we can get Big Nasty Meat on again and discuss the old times.
Yes, we'll be back soon, for sure.
Oh, yes, no doubt about it. Of course, we know by now the Buccaneers, the coaches have entered the offices today for the first time since the virus. I loved Bruce Arians' mask. If you saw the pictures on Facebook, you know, that was quite an interesting thing. I'm just curious though, how is this all going to work out? I mean, you know, with everything that's going on, you have to wonder how are they going to promote this game, considering everything that's going on.
That's a great question. And I think for me, you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm reminded of baseball. I think the NFL does not want to do what Major League Baseball is doing right now. They are doing horrible as a community right now, as the players.
How do you expect a baseball player to be paid for a full season when you're going to play about 50 games a year? That is one of the more asinine things I think I've ever heard in my life. Sorry, Ms. Ruth, for the language. But, you know, I mean,
we will allow asinine.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. There you go. But I mean, it's crazy for them to do about that. Now, obviously, the NFL's not going to fall into this category because I think they'll have a full season. But I think if everybody expects this season to be a great season, given everything to happen with the coronavirus, I mean, and these guys have not had much time to work together, even though we're seeing where Tom Brady's going to allow the offense to work out at a high school. I don't know if you saw the overhead shots Brady working with the offense, you know, I mean, that's the kind of guy that's taking command of the team, which I really love to see. But how is all going to work out? I really do not know. And one of the things to keep in mind, too, how many players are they going to be able to sign with the uncertainty of how this football season is going to go? How many players are they going to be able to sign for training camp? Right. I mean,
this is the thing. Anyone who's sort of saying the whole situation going on at the moment isn't going to affect football, they're naive or kidding themselves. And I think it is going to certainly affect how the sort of players prepare. But every team is going to be affected differently. But if I can just ask Animal, do you think that Brady getting in the work with the offense, do you think that is going to sort of have the team ready for when organized team activities start?
I think by the way, can y'all hear me okay? I just want to make sure that, okay, yeah. Cool. All right, great. Okay. Here's my take on that. Okay. I think what Brady and them are trying to do is get a feel for how he operates, how he wants to control the team from a leadership standpoint, not from a quarterback standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint. This is how you're going to stand the huddle. This is how I'm going to call the plays in the huddle. This is why I want you here. I want you here. I want you here. Things like that. Getting all the simple things worked out by the time they get into training camp. And I think that's more or less what they want. I think that's more or less what Brady was trying to do, maybe, is to let these players understand this is how I operate. Not how James Winston operates. This is how I operate. And I think that's going to play – it's going to be interesting to see how they play it during the course of the season.
So, can you imagine with the NFL coming with, you know, with coronavirus and the uncertainty, can you see these games going on without fans in the stands?
Oh, no. I cannot see these games going on without fans in the stands. The players that's what a lot of these NFL teams, that's what they base the money on. I mean, they get a lot of money from the TV contracts, but to see a game, to watch a football game without fans in the stands is totally unheard of. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you read the story in college football. They're saying that if they don't have fans in the stands, they could lose up to $3 billion, if not more, during the course of the season. And for the NFL, they don't want to do that. Now what we will see, if they do it once they get everything worked out, I think that you're going to see the minimizing of stadiums, whereby then a stadium that hosts 67,000 fans, I think they're going to close it off to like 58,000 or 50,000 fans, just for social distance purposes. Right. Okay. Now how they do that and all, it's going to be an interesting story. But I think one of the things they're going to have to do, they're going to have to minimize stadium capacity if they're going to have fans in the stands.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the only way I see this happening.
Right. You know? That's going to be difficult in Tampa Bay with, you know, Tom Brady taking over. Everybody wants to come see these games.
Well, yeah, exactly, and now the Buccaneers have another dilemma on their hands too. All these people that have purchased season tickets, and now all of a sudden with this coronavirus that has hit, how many people are they going to allow into the stadiums, and how many people are going to be shut out? I mean, that's something that they're going to have to be thinking about. Not just for the Buccaneers. Let's understand teams like the Cowboys, the Packers, the Giants, all these teams that pack in these games. I mean, you're shaking your head, James, but I mean that's got to be an issue that they're going to have to talk about.
Yeah, I think there's, just for me personally, we're getting ready to kind of wrap it up here, Animal. Sorry we tried to
That's my fault. No, not at all, buddy.
Not at all. You know, you're more than welcome here anytime. But to your point, you know, I think that
you know, it would lose a lot of money if there was no fans. Absolutely. And I think that's an obvious point. But then again, this is the problem that Major League Baseball is having. Where do you outweigh the ability to have sports and not have sports? Because you want to be with your fans and say, okay, we're going to give you sports anyway. Yeah. Even though there are no fans, even though they're and it's very different from like entertainment stuff. Entertainment stuff you could do with no fans and get away with it, and you could add things, you know, to kind of help out. But with sports like baseball, football, hockey, things like that, where a lot of these games are based on the crowd and what, you know, they're doing. I mean, we saw it in the golf tournament this past weekend. One of the guys hit a hole in one on the sixth hole, and he didn't even know it because there were no fans cheering. And so he walks away from the tee box, and he's like, oh, I must have hit a good shot, I guess. And then he walks up to find that he actually hit a hole in one and had no idea about it. So, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the beast, I think. And golf's a little bit of a different game, obviously. But anyway, Animal, we got to jump off of here right now.
One final thing before we close this out. Hockey's going to come back with a mini tournament here shortly.
24 games, yeah.
24 games. I want y'all, as we take a look at this hockey tournament, notice how they deal with the fans in the stands and all. And as you look at that, I think the NFL could set that as a foundation for how they want to do it with the games. But that should be interesting to see. But thank you very much for letting me join you in. It was always a pleasure for you to meet me. So it was fantastic. So.
Huh? You know what? You're dismissed, Animal. You're dismissed. I'm dismissing you right now. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Ruth, you know, all the love that you get. Is there anything that you would like to say to your adoring fans that just.
Thank you guys all so much for tuning in. I hope to see you guys every week. I will be here every Monday with the Jameses. And thank you for tuning in. And you guys are blowing up our comments. We love it. That's why you guys see us like low-key cracking up. We're like reading your comments as they're coming in. So keep
we really are. I'm laughing at the comments most of the time. Yeah. Britt Buck, yourself, any last words there, Britt Buck?
I don't know. I mean, I did think that I was addressing my fan base because, you know, everyone was happy to see me back, but apparently they were just here for Ruth. So you know, dude, peace.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on Set the Sails. Don't go anywhere because normally I just end the show, but I actually have a little bit of a surprise for all of our wonderful viewers today. It is called an outro. We actually have a video package to dismiss today. So thank you all so much for watching. Don't forget to tune in next week. Next week we're going to have one of the guys from Spectrum Sports join us. His name is Kenny Morales, an awesome guy, not the baseball player. And he's going to join us at Toxin Buccaneers next week. And then don't forget, we're also going to have our basically not drawing per se, but we're going to announce our league, our fantasy football league, and the divisions. And that's going to be fantastic. So make sure you guys enter as soon as this is done. Bucks Life Media on Facebook. Find us on Twitter, find us on Twitch, find us on YouTube. Thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. So long. Here is your outro, everybody. So long.
Thanks for listening to Set the Sails. Listen to us on Apple Podcast, a Bucks Life Media production in association with FanStreamSports.com. See you next Monday on Set the Sails.